CosmicRadio.tv.
Why'd you guys look up Turbo Kid?
Brant was telling me that it might appeal to me.
Oh, okay.
Why is it? Do you think it would too?
I think it's a pretty decent movie. Yeah.
Okay, grab your mic.
Oh, it's a movie?
Yeah.
It's a movie.
I didn't realize, Brant was telling me about it. Brant was just like, have you heard about this? You should check it out. Like, okay, cool. It probably appeal to you.
Yeah, my coworker's the one, or he wasn't the one who told me about it per se, because I first heard about it through one of us.
Okay.
Because they reviewed it during one of the Fantastic Fests.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
You had me at Canadian New Zealand Dystopian.
I have to look. And I
heard it's really good.
Brant told me to check it out, and I didn't know if he's talking about a game or a movie, so I just typed in Turbo Kid to see what came up.
Yeah,
because,
it's
you know, it's pretty...
It should be a game as well.
Could be both.
I'm liking it.
But you're asking what it was about PAX South that, like it is really a bunch of streaming
Go
things.
Go on.
Of the panels I went to, I enjoyed.
Recording?
We are recording. Yes.
Just checking because I want to make sure I have my mic.
Go back
in my
and
face.
Edit. And
so, yeah, we are recording. We are officially recording here. I enjoyed the panels I went to. I enjoyed the people I hung out with. I definitely enjoyed. None of that. All of that is totally cool. But for some reason, it just like I think if we're talking about how I got a kind of free badge, and I will tell that story in the official podcast because it's a way funny story. Like you mentioned the whole thing of because if I bought a badge, I feel like I had to go, and we mentioned it to my people. Like I've been keeping up with Penny Arcade since day almost zero. There are three sites that I religiously check. Every
the Critterus is something I'm going to be using for a while now. If you read that recently,
like I remember that, and
that
you know, and I will say one of the cool things, because like, I was waiting before the RT panel, they had the I always forget it's Mike and the two creators of Penny Arcade.
I almost said Gabe, but I know that's
right. Exactly,
name.
I was going to say like
because my problem isn't remembering their actual names.
Right, exactly. It's like
oh,
Mike
shit.
And it starts
it's
with
Mike
J.
And
there's a J
and
shit. Such as a J. Oh,
I keep wanting to say Tycho or Gabe.
Right. I forget which one it was.
I had the books. I bought the books when they were coming out with them.
Yeah.
And so that's how I had remembered them for a while. But
right.
I don't know what
and so they had the Q&A before that. Funny Q&A. I mean, they're funny guys. And anyways, so the three sites I check daily, or check daily, you know, with Penny Arcade being Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I checked Penny Arcade's one of them, PvP is the other one, and Rooster Teeth is the third.
Dr. McDinja, that's another good one. It's ending, though. So.
But yeah, so I will typically, you know, I am definitely a fan of their stuff. So it wasn't because of that. It was just weird feeling.
Jerry, his name was
Jerry.
Jerry.
I knew it started with J.
It did start with a J, good call.
I kept thinking Jake and John and James, but
and
Jerry,
I don't,
Jerry
and the thing is that, like, I don't, it, you know, it, maybe it was... Maybe it was the fact that, like, I've never been in the San Antonio Convention Hall.
Oh, okay. So you've been there a couple times.
And it just felt weird, and I don't know why it felt weird. Maybe I think I know what it is. I think I know what bugged me about PAX going there.
Go on.
RTX, you know, we mentioned, yes, they're my people, and I'm, you know, big within the Rooster Teeth community and everything else. And it doesn't even matter that PAX is sort of, 'cause I guess that's what it is that RTX is almost a certain subsection of the internet culture, and to be honest, and I'm being biased, but you know, fuck it, we're like the nicest subsection of the internet culture.
I don't know about that.
We're pretty damn nice.
They're nicer than most.
Yeah, we're pretty damn nice. We're pretty.
I'm just saying, Red Select is the classiest.
I didn't say classy. I said nicest.
I didn't say that.
yeah, because you
just wanted to plug Red Select.
That's fair. But I would say, like, I would say that the Rooster Teeth fan base is one
nice.
Of the nicest
very,
fan bases.
Very nice.
To the point of, like,
every single person I talked to was
I've never met anybody that's been an asshole. I mean, like,
it was a lot of conventions.
Well, because
I tend not to meet the assholes.
Right.
They're there, but you tend
right.
to meet them.
But it was funny. I think I was in line with, like, a bunch of assholes from at random points and during PAX, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, one of their PAX things is about dick wolves.
Right. No, I
okay.
That was a
if you
big,
guys remember
that was a that, yeah. Anyways, but
that
caused so,
a lot of controversy for a while.
As it should have. But anyways, so
still found it funny.
So if RTX is sort of a very concentrated, here's a section of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
PAX felt more general purpose.
What's
yeah, I guess that makes
wrong
sense.
With that?
And there's nothing wrong with
it's
that.
It's not so much there's something
well,
wrong
you know,
with it, is that he doesn't know
question.
How to
what's
connect
wrong with
everybody.
That? It's just, like you were saying, it wasn't your niche. It wasn't.
Well,
you know.
It, that's one thing. So, you know, usually what happens is those things, I go, I try to find my niche. I try to find my people, so to speak. And I did. I did definitely at the Rooster Teeth panel. It was kind of fun to see my own there. And you'd see occasionally like Ruby cosplays and a lot of Undertale cosplays. So that was definitely kind of cool.
Right.
But it was just bizarrely weird going into the expo floor. And I don't know if it was just because it was sort of this, I mean, they're all interior, but it felt like it had this weird feeling that like everything seemed to click of like, wow, this is just, it was bizarre. It wasn't, it didn't feel like it felt like a convention,
yeah.
But it felt like the kind of convention that I would have expected game announcements at.
Oh, okay.
And nothing was really talked about.
Are there usually though?
They do, but not at the South one.
Right. Like it,
oh, okay.
It
yeah.
The, like South felt like
they do it at the Seattle location.
Yeah, like
okay.
South
where it
almost
started.
Felt like we are PAX South. We should be bigger, but
the
PAX
redheaded
just,
stepchild of the PAX.
PAX South is just the fact they want to meet people further down in the U.S. than what all the people up north. That's all it really is.
But the thing is that doesn't work that way.
In fact, they thought about having it here.
If my street pass was an indication, there was everybody from everywhere of the world.
Yeah, but like the difference is like I mean like like in Seattle, it's much harder for some of us to get to Seattle
for sure
than it is for us to just go to San Antonio.
Right. No, and that's what I figured
too. I remember they wanted to do it in Austin originally, but RTX is so big now. They're like, let's not do that.
Right.
They don't want to compete with RTX.
No, and I think that's what was weird is that it felt like this thing because ultimately I think the big issue. I mean, usually with the big issue pack is I always find it a little bit of a scam the way that. They do the badges.
They also have one in Australia now.
Yeah. And so the RTX.
Nice.
RTX just did their first RTX Australia as it was late.
Sorry,
where do you find the ticketing and badging scammy?
What's going on with it?
Oh, I say scammy more in the because the way PAX seems to not – I'll put it this way. Do you know like how BlizzCon feels like it never scales correctly? Like if you don't hear about it the minute it happens, you don't buy it, you'd never get a BlizzCon badge.
Yes.
Because they just seem to magically vanish and that's kind of what PAX is. Any of the PAXes is that if you're trying to get a 3-day badge for any of them, they just disappear. Even though and again, I understand what they're trying to do. Basically they're saying most people are gonna come Saturday versus
right.
a Friday and a Sunday. And I get that. I understand that.
They think they're constraining, the supplies.
Right.
So
right. It just always bugs me. I'm just like, well, if at a certain point, especially start to get to the end, I guess I'm trying to say is I've never had a problem getting an RTX 3-day badge or any of those badges.
They're much more accommodating than most other conventions. Because that's the thing about just conventions in general is that a lot of them
and I realize it's fire.
RTX is just a goddamn freaking
really
nature.
I have never had trouble getting a 3-day badge or anything, even Dragon Con.
It depends on what it is, though, and how big that thing is. Like
Dragon Con had over 70,000 people last year. Not a problem to get a 3-day badge.
The reason like PAX gets sells out so much quickly is the fact that they're so big, they're very popular. Everyone wants to go there. Same with Comic-Con.
Same
with BlizzCon, basically.
Maybe I would feel the way about
all it
the
is
PAX
is that they're willing to
Northwest, but
yeah, because all they're doing is they're willing to like RTX would be the same if they weren't so damn accommodating, because they're willing to just be like, oh, we ran out, okay, let's keep making more.
Whereas
every other place is we ran out, fuck it, that's it, we're done.
Right, and I think
because they don't want to overdo it, but RTX doesn't give a fuck.
Well, because RTX
they had a their convention was like in three different places.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is
so they're able to accommodate
what
they're doing.
That's sort of what I'm trying to say.
Whereas every
is
other
that,
place is it's a single place, and if you keep making more and more,
that,
and more
that's
and
also
more,
the, what I noticed was that it felt like that. where they chose to have it, I get that. That's there's probably other business deals happening because RTX happens in Austin as well. It's like we can do it in January. We're doing it in January, not doing it in July. they're not doing, they're not going head to head against it. So I'm betting that there's a little bit. There's something more than just simply the fact that, I mean, you know, like somewhere there's a deal being made, if you know what I mean. You know,
they really don't want to compete with RTX. Because the second, I remember.
How much are tickets for
RTX? The rumor, I don't know. He would know better.
About the same as okay. PAX.
The rumor was when PAX South first was the thing, they immediately bumped up RTX's date, specifically the fuck over PAX South. That was the rumor. I don't know if it's true.
That was
kind
true.
Of thing. But it
so
was one of those things where it's like. It just kind of
Austin,
just popped
right?
up.
That is that's in November?
No, you're thinking.
No, we don't have a PAX.
We don't have
PAX.
We have
RTX.
We have RTX in July, usually.
PAX is only in
RTX
three
RTX
different
is
places.
In July.
Yeah, so there's the three places PAX happens.
Is Seattle.
PAX Australia, PAX Seattle, which,
yeah,
is, PAX
which
Prime,
is PAX Prime.
PAX East, which is usually in Boston.
Oh, is there Boston?
Yeah.
Maybe?
That's the thing is that there's.
I guess I haven't been PAX.
Yeah, and then there's PAX South now. So that's the problem is that there's all these different PAX kind of things going on. And I would hope, and this is what I was hoping with PAX South that be the case, because again, it's hard to get to Prime, much like we're talking about, not just for travel, whatever, but also because again, tickets go out and they don't seem to scale at all either. I've always wanted to go to a PAX, and I was like, oh, cool. When PAX South got even thing, I was like, cool. Well, that means you know, hopefully that will mean that not a whole like, nope, they just go as fast because ultimately it's not even. You start to learn that the people that go through PAX almost again because it's. You get to, you know, and maybe that's what it was. Maybe the feeling was because, you know, it was this lot of streaming things going on. A lot of people, you know, like the Twitch Town Hall, they have a lot of these sort of things going on that it becomes almost the, you didn't make it to TwitchCon? Well, I guess you can come to PAX. And that's neither good, you know, that is what
not
it is.
Not necessarily a bad thing, but.
Not necessarily a bad thing. It just is what it is. And I guess it was a weird feeling for me because, again, I have been to many conventions. And like even an anime convention, which I think is,
Ikigon.
You know, even I tend to enjoy that a little bit more. I think I've enjoyed that a little bit more than a PAX. And if you want to get more specific, I've enjoyed a South by like Interactive, where I paid, you know, up the ass for a fucking badge 1 year and enjoyed that a lot more than I enjoyed PAX. And not because PAX was bad or anything like that. It's just like the panels. There was only a few handful that were interesting. A lot of them were. It's very much geared towards a very specific, I mean, it's not even specific slice of the internet, but like very general, like some of them were like, you know.
I feel like it's, or that I know, I feel like it's designed for people who are wanting to wait in line.
Yeah, well,
like to play,
yes.
To be given the chance to there, play a new character from something.
Yeah, like there was
like
a, there was a,
minutes.
Like, I feel like I was
talking I know they had some Killer Instinct character, I think.
They did. Like,
the
we're like during, like, we're character. Walking, Charles and I, to the Street Fighter, or just like walking around the expo, and we passed by the Street Fighter V booth, and they're like, you know, I've seen the line there, and Charles like, hey, do you want to line up to play? I go like I'm not gonna line up to get my ass kicked for five, you know, in a minute's time.
I have the beta, I can just
give
do
me
that
look,
at home.
I'll wait till the game comes out. I don't need to get my ass handed to me in like
I played
a
the beta
and a half.
For like 20 minutes
because like that's the worst feeling is like you've been in line for like, you know, 30 minutes and it's like I finally oh god damn it fuck this shit, you know. Talk about anger. I mean, because again, it is there were some interesting things. It didn't, and I guess maybe that's what it was like RTX. You know, I usually can meet some interesting dev people. A lot of it felt almost like a little bit like South by Gaming at times.
Okay.
And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the weird gen populace of the internet that I can't
more detached, less.
Well, because it was like this. That's not to say there weren't my people there. There were for sure, but it's just like it became this weird sort of. And again, because it doesn't scale, they sell basically as much as that as their capacity allows for the most part.
Yeah,
which is weird because it like even that felt like it felt way more crowded Friday than it did Saturday, even though they sold out on Saturday. You know, I guess it felt like this weird sort of thing. I'm like, I kind of wish it scaled more, and it didn't feel like RTX. Like I mentioned, like it took over three venues. I'm like, well, you know, there is the Marriott. There are hotels around there. Just, you know, grab them. This is not their first PAX South. This is like the second year.
I feel like what it is that
I mean, maybe
PAX South is very much like just not their main focus. Like,
right.
It's just very obvious when you look at it.
No, for sure. And it's interesting that because even this year, I think a couple developers pulled out, like Gearbox pulled out of PAX South. And they're, I mean, they're in Dallas. They're
not that far from me.
They're not
wow.
far at all. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that, and because I went there and there's some really, again, there were some really cool panels. There were some really cool stuff. But, you know, if you look over the schedule, there wasn't a heck of a whole lot.
I'm
going
to tell you, I had the weekend available where I could have gone. I looked at the panels and I saw like one or two things.
Yeah,
that maybe
that was about
me.
The same thing I
and
did
I'm like,
too.
I'm not going to pay
the money.
I feel
like January is just a really bad time for to plan
that,
anybody's like anything else.
That's too.
Because everyone's, right? Yeah, because like everyone has just gone through
Christmas
so many fucking
and
holidays.
Travel,
that
bullshit.
Too.
And like, so even the Twitch people are like, or like not the Twitch, but even the people, you know, that are developers, you know, I just want to relax for now kind of thing. I just want to work on what
I mean,
we're doing.
I mean, because, you know, a lot of the same.
Like, I feel like know. The Twitch people came because the Twitch people have such a small grasp on the internet that they have to take every chance they get.
For sure. And again, the, you know.
Which isn't bad. Just,
no,
it's
again,
just they're very good at promoting
I ultimately,
themselves.
Like I said, I am glad PAX South exists. It's if it's definitely your type of people, you know, go to it for sure. I'm glad I went to at least 1 year. So now that I know
right.
in my head that. Unless I have to do it like for media coverage or something like
right.
that might be the only
but
time.
But you know what?
You
right, it's also the beginning of it. You said is what second
well,
year?
I haven't had the chance to go.
No. I mean, it's worth. Like ultimately, I did meet some interesting people, but I you know, like I do want to go to 1 year to PAX Prime because that seems
that
interesting.
Would be great. But
like
I
what,
don't know anything
you know,
about Seattle.
You know, one again, there have been a Seattle.
Unless one of us
Seattle's
wants to
awesome.
Tom Hanks. Just not sleep.
It's actually really great.
Get it? Get never mind.
I missed that.
I made
all right.
a Tom Hanks joke.
Three, two, uno. Welcome to Jump Point. We'll talk the gamut of gaming topics. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. If you just heard that part in the episode, then that means we kept it in. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas, again, joined by...
Rosa Guthrie.
And...
Tom Hanks. I'm just kidding. Michael. I was mentioning Tom Hanks earlier.
No, it's okay.
I don't remember his character from Big, or else I would have done
so that. We're talking before the show began, and we'll probably include this at the beginning of the show, so you'll hear the weirdest transition to an episode ever.
Tom Hanks.
Really was.
Best we were talking about PAX. So I was kind of giving all the lowdown, but I didn't tell a story on how you
got there.
So
yes. This is good.
So I had went to PAX South.
Who did you have to kill first?
No, I didn't kill anybody.
Did you pretend to be
so,
Charles
let
and take
say,
his badge?
Let me say this. One of our you know, mutual friend of the show, mutual friend of myself, Richard Cook, you know, game developer, creator of Pixel Poetry, a whole bunch of awesome.
What does he cook?
You've met Richard.
No,
before.
I haven't met Richard.
You've met him.
I met him at the South Park.
Yeah, well, you met him there, but you also met him. He was also here during the 24-hour.
I wasn't here for the 24-hour.
Yeah,
I met him for the South Park, but
yeah,
I didn't
he was here. He was part of the Keep Talking So No One Explodes team.
God, I still hate that. I missed that.
It's okay. We'll do it again next
time. I would have exploded that bomb. I'm not going to lie.
That's okay. Anyways,
I would have done everything in my power to make that thing explode.
So I helped him out with a couple things at one point, and so, you know, as a kind of payment, or sort of a thank you, actually, he got me a Friday badge, which, you know, I didn't expect to have to go to PAX, but just like, it was in my plan of things.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, okay, you know, I'll definitely go for at least one day. And so I went Friday, saw specifically the Rooster Teeth panel, because, you know, I'm a huge Rooster Teeth fan.
Did
and,
you run into any quote-unquote celebrity peoples?
Like
any of the Game Grumps or Screw Attack people? I know some of them were down.
You know, it's funny. I did on Saturday. I bumped into Jeff Ramsey.
Okay.
And that was more of a, hey, Jeff, hey. And the, you know, he's with Millie. Because yeah. He's with Millie. And he's his daughter. And I'm
yeah,
like,
I don't
want to
bother him.
Well, it's like, let
them enjoy this.
You know, let Millie have fun.
I'm not going to be that dude.
You know, let Millie explore PAX.
It would have been funny just say, like, instead of just saying hi to Jeff, just tell Jason I said hi and walk off.
There. I mean, I met certain people, and I met some other people that I'm, you know, probably gonna need a bit life in some capacity pretty soon. But I mean, in terms of like
Charles doesn't count.
No, it was actually some developers that some people that like Charles introduced me to the.
Is it another cook?
No, to I know his first initial is J, but I think it goes by I don't know I think it was a middle name Kyle more so than anything else. J. Kyle Pittman. Guy from Minor Key Games. He works on.
What was his
that
last
doesn't
name?
Ring a bell.
Pittman, I think, is his last
he
name.
He sounds like a Nintendo character.
Well, he had to. He's
Jake Kyle Pittman.
He worked on. I think it's the game
introduced
is
in Smash Bros.
Super Win the Game. I think that's the official title. I'll look at it.
Again. Oh wait, no, I think I met him at the fuck was it? Classic Game Fest.
Yeah, probably you did.
I didn't really talk to him much because I had
right.
a niece with me.
Like Charles, yeah, Charles did, and Charles kind of kept up with him, and so we got to hang out with him and his wife and. and kind of chit chat about that.
If you saw me, he's like, you're gonna that dude
top,
who
top thing that
did
comes
nothing.
Up is something called Pirate Hearts.
Yeah, Pirate Hearts All is right. his Twitter handle.
Yar.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, so we you know we chit chatted and everything else, and I got to meet other people randomly. But anyways, back to the story. So I go to the Rootsuit panel, awesome panel, saw some fun stuff.
Go on.
And so I'm leaving the panel, and this guy flags me down, says, "Hey, are you local?" I go, "Kinda, you know, because I'm Austin and Santa, yeah. whatever." He goes, "I've got to go to, you know, the guy that apparently had some plan changes." He goes, "Do you want to change your 3-day, you know, your Friday badge for my 3-day badge?" I go, "Blah." Not able to respond. Is there a way we can authenticate your badge or check if it's real or do any of the things so this doesn't be a scam? Because my brain kind of farts. And I guess I hit.
Hesitated long enough,
right? And I hesitated.
What
long
are you buying?
I hesitated long enough to sort of to go blah. And make a long story shorter.
Long story short, you robbed him.
No. Long story
I'm
short,
like, bam, and then it said Roberto gained this much money from the Pokemon fight. And,
here, let me.
And they were like, "What?" Like,
to make it,
I think I'm making Roberto nervous.
No. I'm just trying to find the. I know what she's trying to do, and I'm now trying
he's
to.
Trying to find his porn file.
He's like, stop touching my keyboard.
Stop looking at my bookmarks. I use that porn for research. I mean,
there we go.
Oh, snap.
No, okay. But anyway, so to kind of get back to the point, you mentioned I hesitated long enough because I did, I guess to the point where he was like, here, just have it. And he walked away, and I didn't get a chance to even like roughly get his
that
name.
It was like a side quest almost. Here's the key card.
It might as well have been. It might as well have been like this random karmatic event. And so, you know, I kind of was just like, bleh, you know, kind of, you know, mind sort of going, what the hell just happened here?
I would have Zelda'd the
shit out of that. And
I did that
you know,
I got my RTX badge, like, I want to say like 3 years ago.
Somebody gave yourself a soundbite?
Because somebody gave it to me. Like, it was a Saturday night. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to go tomorrow. Do you want it? And I'm like, sure. And the second he gave me, I was like, dun. He's just staring at me. He's like,
and that's what got you into, but anyway, so.
That was from a while back, though.
So I end up, you know, I didn't catch his name, didn't catch anything else because it was just he kind of wandered off, and I'm just like, you know, in this weird daze. So I end up going to an enforcer, and I say, because I was trying to find an enforcer, but the one, you know, and I found one. I go, okay, this is going to sound really strange. You know, I explain I have a legit Friday badge.
Was he dressed like Judge Dredd?
he's just wearing his orange enforcer shirt, being, you know, as awesome as enforcers. That's one thing I can say about PAX and RTX that they both do great. Is that their enforcers, or in RTX sense, the Guardians, are all phenomenal people, and
they all want to be there.
They are all amazing.
Like, none of them are
That's
tired.
Cool.
They all want
they are
to be there.
They are amazing people, filled with joy and love, and whether
a lot of patience.
And whether or not whether or not I'll go to PAX South again doesn't matter. I will never say anything bad about any.
Still,
enforcer.
Props to the enforcers.
Very much props to enforcers. In fact, I always
unless they're lethal enforcers.
I always make an effort whenever I see a Guardian or an enforcer at you know PAX or one of those things. To say thank you for everything you're doing. I always make it a very conscious effort to say thank you to each and every enforcer, each and every guardian I ever see in any of those things without fail.
I kind of want a guardian to kill somebody so I can pull up the soundbite where it's like, killed by the guardians. I think it would be funny.
But anyway, so I go to the enforcer, I tell him the story of that, and I go, how do I validate this is real? Not because, you know, just because, like, part of me thinks that this is...
That's like a
pride bullshit.
Something.
There's something. Something's going wrong because this isn't supposed to happen in any capacity. You know, I'm not. Anyway, so he goes, okay, if you go there, the badge essentially, there's a section that's sort of white on them that basically has I think my badge is over. My Friday badge is over there if you want to see what
somewhere.
I saw one.
But you put under what, the black light?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, so yeah, if you look at the top part, and for those who are at home who have their own PAX South badge, you can play along. Basically, where it says San Antonio PAX, that white portion there, if you put it under black light, symbols kind of appear.
Oh.
It's part of their protection.
Trippy.
Them are dick wolves.
They're actually just like squares, whatever. But like, it's part of their protection. Like with RTX badges this past year, they didn't do the plastic thing. They did the whole we can scan it and you have a chip in there. It's like they did
RFID,
which is way more smart than that. But you know, that's you know again because you know I will say this and maybe this is what it was about. Maybe this is what fucking bugged me about PAX so much that didn't bug me about RTX. I didn't feel like anybody at RTX, like, I didn't see anyone outside, like, yo, we got RTX badges, you want to buy some shit?
Oh, okay.
Like, in front of PAX, everyone's fucking selling badges like it's goddamn fucking San Antonio ticket bullshit. Maybe that's what I don't fucking like about it. It felt like a goddamn, like, sporting event kind of shit.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, you need a ticket?
No, seriously. There was, like, motherfuckers with, like, three badges holding, like,
parks?
You know, there was a guy as I was walking in, like, looking to buy badges. Anyone got extra ones that want to sell to me? Motherfucker, like, what the fuck?
Like, whoa.
I was like, it felt like, you know.
It happens at all events, though.
It doesn't happen. I've never seen it at RTX.
I've only seen it in a handful of places, but I've never really seen it that bad.
I've never seen it, like, bad either. Like,
usually they're, like, really secretive, like the dude, like the seller from Resident Evil 4.
like
what are you buying, stranger?
And maybe it's
what are you
San
selling?
Is a you know, a basketball town, if you will.
Oh, very much so.
And so because of that...
That's an understatement.
Because the Spurs play there. But because of that, there's that mentality already of, like, scalpers selling, you know, Spurs tickets and shit like that.
Yeah.
So there's that industry there, which might explain why they go so fucking fast. Maybe that's why, you know, that they all go fast, because they're all part of, like, all in towns that have big, giant sporting events.
I don't know about that.
I have a conspiracy. That's my conspiracy theory.
I get it, but it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think those people know how to use the internet.
No. But no, seriously, because there was enough people selling, like, there were, like, every day, pretty
there probably
much.
Probably are some people
every day,
guaranteed,
without fail, there was somebody, there was, like, Friday, there was a guy holding, like, selling 3-day badges, like, just holding or whatever. Every day without fail, there's somebody selling either that day's badge or that, like, Saturday for sure. But yeah, there was a ton of scalpers. There was like enough scalpers that you'd walk by and it's like,
well, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier before the cast started, where, you know, you were talking about constraining supply and everything, you know, it doesn't scale, so you know, you've got
which might be that's why RTX doesn't feel that way, because it fucking scales like a motherfucker.
It scales all the time.
It scales,
it's
and that's
like
that,
every 20 seconds.
That might be the why. Maybe that's what it would also bug me too, was that, like, it was all these scalpers, like, you know, selling badges. I was like, God damn it.
That's why it doesn't happen at RTX, because you can, like, they're willing to just make more.
Because they're able, because the beauty part is that they realize if we sell more, we can also book more venues, because,
like,
because most people like having money.
They scale like normal 3-day passes, though. Like,
right.
Everything else, it makes sense for them not to scale, like the VIP ones and stuff. Like, you just...
Oh, yeah, VIP, that's totally fine.
But
those are okay.
Yeah, they're so...
That makes sense. Those should be constrained.
The most accommodating convention I've ever seen in my life.
Maybe that's why I like it so much.
Because Comic-Con's not going to do that.
Yeah, maybe that's why I like it so much, is that they scale and they go, well, I mean, if we can't fill this venue up, let's go get the hotels as well.
The guy I had bought my badge from the last year...
Yeah.
The reason he even had that is because they had sold out, and then like a week later, he's like, yeah, they made more, so I bought one of those.
Yeah.
Like, you want my other one? Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's basically what happens, is that
they're so damn accommodating.
Yeah, they basically do as much
it's
as they can.
It's not a bad thing. I'm not thinking it a bad thing.
They do as much as they can. And if, anyways, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I'm not going to, we don't get pulled into the black hole of PAX.
Yes. So back to the
black
hole. So basically, he put under black light, your symbols come in, so I, you know, in front of the expo hall, they have these, like, black lights there. And, you know, I basically take my Friday badge, see the symbols, and I take the other badge, and lo and behold, symbols appear.
So many of those nerds must have been nervous walking under that thing.
Well, what's funny is that, like, I told the greatest thing is I told Charles that story, and he had actually got his 3-day badge kind of from someone on Twitter. It's sort of a mutual, a part of a chat realm, so to speak, a mutual friend or mutual kind of acquaintance. But that was one. I think somebody else had bought one off. The friend of mine had bought theirs off eBay when I was telling the story, and they had not checked their badge yet. And so they're like, oh, really? Because, you know, if you look at the PAX badge, it ain't that complicated. It's a laminated piece of plastic, and they produce this design of, like, what it's going
to
look like.
Even the sticker doesn't look like it'd be that hard to make.
You know, everything else is hard to make. That's why the UV. That's what the UV light's for.
It makes sense, though.
That's,
they
that's
need
part
to protect themselves.
Copy protection, so to speak. It was interesting. It was definitely a very intriguing
like the number one's rule is drugs are bad.
Yeah. The greatest thing about the badges itself is that the media badges and the special guest badges don't have the rules in the back of it, so they theoretically can do anything they want because they're not informed of the rules. It was definitely interesting. I mean, like I said, I did enjoy it overall, but I don't think, like,
should we all plan to go to RTX together?
RTX, definitely, most likely.
That's tempting.
I'll go at least one day.
That's tempting, but I fucking hate
that's
downtown.
That's in July. That's
so
for the July weekend?
Yeah, it's for the July weekend. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'll probably, most likely going to buy a 3-day badge. I say most likely only because of other vacation stuff I'm kind of working on, and that'd be the only thing that prevent me from going.
Yeah. I'd go with maybe, but I only made $9,000 this year.
But it's more of a maybe because I'm planning other trips. There are other trips, and it's more of I'll have the vacation time, but it's a matter of spreading out expenses and everything else. Like that would be the only thing that would keep me from going because it's RTX I love, and we keep mentioning that and I know it's like RTX versus PAX, and it's just not that. It's more of this
really
like that. It's just like it's very interesting to see.
They both have X's in it.
Yeah, but very, it's very interesting to see just the fact that, and again, maybe it's just weird that like that con seems to scale. And none of the other ones are not, and I wonder.
We've been talking about scale so much. I feel like there's a lizard walking past.
Well, I wonder. I wonder if that's
all the scales.
I wonder if that's part of their understanding of things. Is that they know that they see the problems with other conventions, and that they try to figure
out
how do we.
I feel like
that.
It's something that they've been having to deal with day one,
right?
From day one, because it just. The second they had their little RTX.
Their first RTX, yeah, they got sold out.
They sold out, and then they made more, and then sold out again, and they kept making more, and they're just like, this is just going to keep happening. So let's
right,
just keep
yeah, and
this.
That's what, but that's smart, you know.
So it's a smart, yeah, it's a smart thing to do.
I'm just surprised, like, because this is what.
No other conventions really do that. Because
back
though.
South, this is like the second or third year.
No, it's like the third.
Yeah, and so that's why I felt like it should have. It didn't feel like it necessarily like a first year con per se, but it did have this, again, that scaling issue.
That new con smell. Well, you know what? But you went to this one of these, and then go check it out again in like in another 3 years.
No, yeah, like I said, if it can scale for sure, and I mean to the point where they can figure out the, like I said, I understand if there's limited quantity, then that puts out scalping and whatnot. I mean, if there was a way to somehow deter that,
yeah,
maybe or you just have people outside stopping these people from doing that, like most places that are like actual. Gaming events do.
I
mean video gaming. I mean like sports.
Yeah, and or just somehow
because it's illegal.
It is illegal, but it's one of those things where you just like they turn a blind eye to it. It's just part of the.
And if that were the case, because ultimately, like I would rather it. I'll put it this way: I would rather that because I think that's what would bug me. Because I had friends like within my crowd of friends, everyone had gotten their badge in some other way. Like I talked to a friend on Twitter who knew some guy, or I bought mine on eBay. And it was very common, by the way. This is what also bugged the crap out of me.
That's how many people have the same kind of story.
Well, yeah.
Well, not the same story, but you know what I mean? Like a story behind.
Right.
I bought it on a lot of people
who didn't have a 3-day badge, but had a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday single badge, each one of them. So that bugs me because I'm just like, well, if they bought that, that means that there's a capacity for another 3-day badge right there. And all I felt was like, well, no, we can just overcharge. Basically, 3-day badges are treated like VIP badges.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, that's not what they're supposed to be. They're not VIP stuff. They're just a 3-day
badge. I'm sure
there
is a business/marketing reason for that in the background, especially for a baby con like this that's just starting out, third year, second year, whatever it is.
Right, but I'm like RTX, the one we went to, we were talking about, was also just the third year. Or four, was it fourth?
No, it's been around for a little longer than three.
Okay, guys, like for because I missed year two. I missed year three. This is the fourth year.
Fourth year,
the one we're at.
Because I think I went to the
kinks worked out.
Yeah,
I think I went to the one before. I want to say I went to the one.
Yeah, because I missed the first one. The first one was the roughest one. The second one was at the convention center, which I went to that one. Mm-hmm. I missed the third one for.
Where was the third one? Was it also at the convention center?
Yes, it was.
Was Spell still a thing at the time?
Had to look. No, yeah, because I missed RTX year one. I went to year two, but that was the thing at two. Three, that's a double toasted launch party because I missed that because I was in Hawaii.
See, I went to the second one, and then I didn't go to the third one.
Yeah, third one was the launch of double toasted.
Wait, no, shit.
The second one was
no. I went to the third and the fourth one.
Online.
Yeah, anyways, so, but long
I remember,
story short,
yeah.
Long story short, it's gone on for about a year longer. Than PAX South.
Okay.
And mind you, PAX, the people who ran PAX have been running PAXes for.
This is true.
You know, they know.
Yeah, but Seattle is very much their home territory.
Right, but I'm saying is that like
their
home Seattle,
territory.
So there's Seattle. There's, remember, we went over them again. There's Seattle. There's.
No, but I mean like literally like the thing is the same with RTX. RTX, you know, in Austin, that's their home.
Yeah.
Home front. Whereas the same with PAX in Seattle, that's their area of living.
Okay.
So that's the same
it's
deal.
It's still a shame they wouldn't have.
Also, keep in mind, it's no longer, like keep in mind, Jerry and Mike don't run it.
Well, they, yeah, but I mean, like, that's the reason why it's probably better up there
maybe
than it is down here, because they don't have to be down here.
Maybe. I don't know. I would doubt that, especially if you have, if you have already, like I said, PAX Seattle, PAX Prime, PAX East, and PAX South, and then PAX Australia.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like South is just them going, hiring a chunk of people going,
maybe.
Make it work kind of thing. Trying to make sure everything else.
If they're outsourcing it, then yeah, I can see that. Again, I
don't know. We're just speculating.
Right, we're speculating.
Unless I walk up to them and be like, hey,
who runs?
What are you doing?
How is PAX South running?
How does this work?
You know, again, because I've never been in that. You know, again, the first
time. Do you want to buy a ticket for me? What?
Yeah, basically, it was like that. Again, it was such a weird. That was the weirdest feeling. Was because again, I didn't get that RTX so many times. So it was just like no one's asking me. Like, hey,
well,
do
even
you
then, like RTX was such a big place. I don't think I would have even noticed because it was hot as shit after a while.
Yeah,
I was just like, I'm dying. I'm just gonna take a nap in the sun.
Yeah.
All right.
So before we continue with this week's news and fun stuff, let's go around the horn. What are you even playing, Rosa? We haven't talked in a while.
I did put it on the board, so I've been playing. Actually, I started replaying Ori because I don't know if you guys remember. I told you I started playing it, but
yeah.
I accidentally was under my husband's Xbox ID.
Oh,
so you're like, he can't have those achievements. I earned those damn achievements.
Yes, yeah, so I've been replaying it also because I missed it. I have never felt that way about a game before.
Really?
I missed playing the music, the gameplay, everything. I am dying for them to make another Ori. Dying.
Nice.
I also and because I was dying for more like that, somebody suggested I play Limbo. Not the same.
Oh no, it's not even close to the same thing.
But it was like, I don't know. Whatever the case. Limbo. Really interesting. I flew through it in 3 days.
A lot.
I remember when Limbo first came out and then that first death happened.
It is.
And it tends to be the same death for everyone.
The bear thing.
It's either the bear trap or the spider.
Yeah, it's usually the bear trap, I would say.
That spider.
So, but anyway, and I wish Charles was here because he was the one that talked to us about, what was it? Lifeline?
Yes.
And
I've been hearing a lot of negative about Lifeline.
Which one was Lifeline?
I don't know about negative. I like enjoy it.
Lifeline's the message, the
it is. I don't know if it's...
Hi, I need help. Yeah.
Oh, that thing. The help thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can count that as a game.
Mutual friend of the show.
It's like a read your own adventure.
And,
you know,
I feel like it is a game because that's how a lot of old PC games were.
It's
a text adventure game. Those are very much video games.
Like,
but that's what it feels like.
That's what it is, though.
It
straight up is that, though.
Well, because, I mean, I love...
The only difference is you're not making yourself do these things. You're making
maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the idea that's part of.
I feel like it's very much the same thing.
Okay, I've yet to play.
I feel like splitting hairs on that's kind of weird.
I can't make a contract. I've heard mixed things.
Yeah, and let's see what else. Fallout 2. I'm still hacking through that. I'm at Broken Hills right now. And speaking of Fallout, I'm still playing the mobile Fallout Shelter.
Oh, okay.
Which I've got like my entire shelter done up, 200 people, and I am hellbent on getting everyone's special abilities to 10.
Nice, nice.
So I've not slept ever.
Michael,
I've been playing the most dangerous game, learning how to stick shift.
That's right.
So many times.
I'll leave it to you whether you want to talk about this or not. We don't tend to delve into personal life as all the damn time unless it's like
the least personal thing going on, I guess, with me right now. Is that I've been learning stick shift because the car I had broke one more time than I was willing to let it break.
That's fair.
Because I'd spent $200 to fix the Cougar, and then it broke like 2 weeks later again.
And it's like, nope.
And I was talking to my dad, and he's like, well, how much do you think it's going to cost to fix? It's like, well, this is busted. Well, how much is that? It's like you're looking at $200 in just parts. And then we would have to put them in. I'm like, nope.
So
fuck that.
New car.
Fuck a bunch of that. And so what happened was
a different car.
What happened was that we had this one car just in the yard that we just never fucked with because it was a stick shift. And my brother's like, well, technically it works, but I can't get it to start or whatever. And so I was staring at it, and my dad's like, well, I don't know, we can probably figure out how to get it to start. Turns out it was missing something real fucking simple.
Really?
It was these little like plastic pieces or whatever that just go like kind of where the pedal is to make it start or to have the clutch connect to the other
Fantastic.
Stuff essentially. And then it just started like in 5 seconds.
Okay.
And so the second that happens, like, well, I guess you can use it now. And I actually we got it to pass inspection like at the last minute on my birthday.
Wow.
The funniest thing is what we did is that it shouldn't have passed inspection for two specific reasons. One, my speedometer doesn't technically work.
Ah! Oh my god, dude, and that's so dangerous.
I'm using like this, there's a phone app that gives me a vague
oh
idea of how fast I'm going.
God.
It uses my GPS. It's actually pretty cool. But
it's great to know.
My brother's the one who told me about it because he was using the car prior to that.
Note to
like,
self.
The other thing is that part of its muffler is kind of leaking. So we had to bribe a Mexican guy to pass my car.
That is amazing.
Because the guy was like, well, originally I was gonna fail it, but I already hit the button, so just put in a little more money in there. So I gave him 20.
Oh, that is hilarious. Good job. Well done.
And
very Latin America.
So
this
right
is all allegedly
that,
right, because there is a recording going on, right?
I don't care.
Okay.
Come at me, Texas.
Fuck it.
Okay, fuck it. I tried.
Too late now.
I tried, motherfuckers. But,
and so,
you know.
Well, they don't know where I got it from. And they,
true.
Very
so, well, you're not fucking around with parts and bits and Mexican.
And so the second
rides.
That happened, I spent the entirety of my birthday learning how to drive this thing. Frustrated for like 3 hours because my
brother. So what you're saying is you played Forza in real life.
Basically, my brother was like, I was with my brother in a hospital parking lot for 3 hours, just
right.
figuring out how to take off on this thing.
Yeah,
without immediately stalling. He's telling me one thing, and then it turns out he met something else, and it just got more and worse and worse and worse until I finally figured it out. And then it's like, well, now I'll figure out how to take off on a hill, and I'm like, oh god. And it just keeps going, and so I keep doing it, and I get better and better every time.
So what's your score?
My score? I have, that like, this past week...
Is you got to Austin from
this
Buda.
This past week, I've stalled, like, maybe 5-6 times.
That's not
compared
bad.
To, like, the 20 in the first week.
All right, that's not bad.
Soon you'll be epic. Don't you worry.
But I keep messing up the actual shifting part. So that, like, where, like, because it's not... It doesn't feel smooth, basically. Because, you know, when a person's supposed to shift, you're just... It's basically you're normally going. When I do, my car goes. And it's like fuck.
You'll get there.
So now we got not net.
I'm getting there. And the other thing I did was I replayed Undertale so I could get the pacifist ending.
Nice.
Because I'd only beat it in the neutral route the first time.
Right.
And I at the time it was my friend's, so I was like, well, you know, I don't actually have it on my computer.
For sure.
So he gifted it to me, so I can just like, well,
nice.
You can replay it, so you can get the pacifist ending because I didn't
so you got
show
the
it to you.
Right, right.
So I ended up doing that, and I still so good. And then I watched the genocide ending because I was like one of those things where I'm like, I can't kill one of the characters in this game.
All right, I'm gonna guess. It's Metatron, right?
No.
It's always it's the robot.
It's never Metatron.
I know because it's always Sans or Papyrus.
It's always Papyrus because he's the first guy.
Yeah,
and
I know.
The fact is that he's so
well. Technically,
goddamn
he's not
lovable.
Well, technically, he's not the first guy.
No, but I mean, like, he's the first like of the people outside.
Well, but yeah, but everyone counts.
Everyone counts.
Everyone's in play.
Like, I mean, like, he's the first. He's the first like stepping stone to like going. I don't know if I can do this because when you first meet the first character. You only have so much interaction with that character that you're just like, well,
I had enough.
I could probably easily do this. But the second I talked to Papyrus,
I love it, Papyrus.
I remember just going, I cannot for the life of me. I will
Man,
never
Papyrus,
ever harm this fucking
Papyrus
character.
Papyrus is such the interesting one because that's the case. We won't talk about Undertale too much at all because I don't
want to. We can talk about the beginning.
Well, because I just want to spoil
enough.
It. It's such a weird. I mean, I have a.
It's such a crazy game.
By the time
which I tried explaining to you guys.
By the time this episode goes live, I'll put it this way. If you ever want
to
hear my thoughts on this, by the time this episode goes live, there should be a corresponding post on my Medium account. Sorry to give my full thought dump on
the funniest thing about that game, though, is I think one of its best songs is not used in the game. It's just on the soundtrack.
Which one?
It's called The Song That Might Play If You Fight Sans.
It does come in the game, actually.
Hmm?
It can come in the game.
How?
There's a way...
Besides hacking.
Hence the name.
I'm saying like...
I said besides hacking.
Okay,
go
besides
on.
Hacking. Well, I guess so.
There's plenty of people who are like, can we put it in there? But you gotta, you know, fuck with a few things. Like, yeah, that's not what I mean.
It's like I forget, because like, I mean, there's so many weird things. But anyways...
It's a really great song. It sounds like a Mega Man X
song. Yeah, so he's been playing Undertale then? Just basically Undertale and whatnot.
Well, I think there's one. I've been playing a lot of Battlefronts though.
That's cool.
They released the new update.
That's right.
It.
Yeah, they had some
so
new.
So you can have the Hoth outfits for.
Yeah, that's
heroes,
right.
Which is like okay because I'm not super into Han Solo's Hoth outfit in general.
Like, look, he looks
because
warm.
It's
he looks warmer.
Well, that's all it is really. Whereas I still like his Bespin blue jacket, which is still technically his Hoth outfit.
Yeah.
He only wears it, the other outfit when he's outside the one fucking time.
Yeah, you know, where he might die if he's exposed to the elements for too long.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, I really
had to cut up a
tauntaun
to stay warm for the winter.
So fucking cool.
They had to slice open a tauntaun.
But it was nice seeing the blue lightsaber, though, because
those tauntauns are all lukewarm.
Luke is just the...
Hold on. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did hear that. Oh, also, I beat the entirety of this Dragon Ball 3DS game my friend gave me.
Nice.
Like,
that's awesome.
I 100%ed that thing.
Well, I've been playing, like as mentioned, a lot of Undertale. I, too, also got the neutral and passive ending.
I'm very happy that he's went fucking nuts the posting
thing,
about it.
The thing is
within,
that...
like, a day.
Here, I know a lot of people don't see the set per se unless they watch 8-Bit Life live and set by me in my apartment living room. But I want you to look behind you really quick. You specific.
Slowly.
Yes. That, you work too. You can look at it behind. You can look directly behind you. Now, the thing I've been saying about Undertale, and this is sort of, we'll tell you where what it is. If Undertale, and this will explain it to you, Rosa, kind of where it's coming from. And I learned even a lot more this weekend about Toby Fox than I didn't even know about.
Yeah, I mentioned the Earthbound hack thing too.
Well, no, I didn't even know about other couple things that are part of the
is it the Homestuck thing?
Like he's actually part of Starman.net. Like he's one of the bigger guys there. I had no idea, and there's only so many places Earthbound fans congregate, and Starman.net's one of them.
I remember when I was trying to get you to play the game originally, I mentioned Earthbound like right away.
The point is that I had already heard a lot of that. It wasn't that I didn't want to play it. It's just I just hadn't had time.
No, I'm not saying you weren't going to play it. But I mean, during the game of the year, I was just very
Everything you had said, I had known about. Like, I'd known that essentially that it took a lot of inspiration from other series and yada, yada, yada. Not in a bad way. Just like I had known all these bits of data. The thing that I had done really well for me, and it was very well in terms of, I had friends of mine. I had a lot of people who I knew were streaming it in various times. I did a great job of not spoiling anything for me.
Nice.
It was really hard for a lot of people.
It wasn't.
Our mutual friend Joseph Compton did not have that luxury in any shape or form because he's on Tumblr because Tumblr's really bad about it.
Yeah, and that's
because
sort of what, you know,
there
I
was
got
like
luck.
A million fan art.
Yeah,
and everyone talking about
it. Everything's just spilling out.
And then B, he was with his friends that he knew in his car, and then they just were spoiling
like about
the
it.
Shit
like
out
like
of
the most I the most I knew
Damn.
The most
it's
I knew
ridiculous.
About the game was
but
that
sucks, though,
was the was the base mechanic, the character Papyrus, and I kind of figured out that there was multiple endings, and that's about all I knew.
How long gameplay?
I'd say maybe, honestly,
I give it like
probably,
5 hours.
Probably four,
eight,
four or 5 hours tops, really.
Okay.
Not terribly long.
I feel like it's longer if you get the genocide ending, though.
But actually, the appropriate nomenclature, and I learned this from the idea.
I know the actual name, but it's like, people call it the genocide.
Right. The,
for a specific
the nomenclature that the creator of the game prefers is the No Mercy run.
I prefer genocide because it sounds much more fucked up.
It does, but
up.
No Mercy
sounds that much more fucked up.
You know, it's funny. I think No Mercy sounds way more fucked up.
No.
Honest, it's like,
I don't think it does.
I'm a Care Bear. I can't do those.
Because genocide, it sounds like something that is, in fact, something that happened in World War II.
Yeah, it did. Anyways, but going back to the
and
thing.
It doesn't make sense.
To going back really quickly, just to kind of sum up everything, if Undertale would like a college paper, if you will, the Mother series is part of its source material.
Oh, very much so.
Like it's like that would be part of the
I feel
paper
like,
cited or
I
whatever.
Feel like what Undertale is not only that, it's his actual finished paper.
Yeah.
Whereas his Earthbound hack was his rough draft.
Right. And again, it's definitely interesting, you know, I'm holding a lot of things back just for spoiler reasons.
It's hard too because
that and there.
I just want to mention like fucking everything.
That and some things are.
You guys didn't have like a little sidebar. Like you guys didn't have like a you know.
Well,
like, you have
that,
a...
well, I say that I'm holding back because that and some things are in the works that aren't.
There should be a sidebar and it should just make.
But if you do want my full thoughts, you know, like I said, the post and Medium will come up and it has. I just need it. I haven't posted it because I need to actually edit it.
Weird question. What voice in your head did you hear when Papyrus talked? Mine was Skeletor.
You know what? Actually, mine was. This is going
to
sound silly, but anytime
Sans was Brian for some reason.
What?
Sans was Brian for some reason.
For me, it was actually. Have you ever played the Sam and Max series of games?
I
sorry,
did. Oh,
sorry,
I,
not Sam
I,
Max. Sorry, the Monkey Island series of games.
I've seen a lot of stuff on it.
So there's a character in. I think he comes out in the third Monkey Island, technically. But he comes back in the new versions when they remade the games. They're on Telltale, or they made the new ones. this character named Murray. Murray is in fact a skeleton.
And, oh, I think actually,
it's like, and he's like, greetings, you know, for Threepwood, and he has his like voice because they're like, I'm going to rule the world like he's an evil skeleton.
Yeah.
And the joke is that I have no idea what dinged. I'm actually kind of curious now. Hold on a second.
The hell was that?
It's clearly his porn research
from earlier.
It's like,
yeah,
it has finished downloading, Roberto.
Oh, no, that's
your
I'm done downloading, master.
No, that's actually Todoist reminding me to make a Pinterest for next week's episode.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Yeah, I'm always like, is the board up yet?
Exactly. But yeah, so basically, that character, Murray, was the voice I imagined for Pirates, because it was just another skeleton in my head. I think Sans, you know, I mean, obviously they have their own sound effects, but that. But yeah, if you want to hear my full thoughts, you can read the article when it's up live. I just need to edit it and make sure you know, it's solid or whatever.
Nice.
Why are you standing?
Because why are you putting me on the spot?
Because my
lower back hurts.
So let's actually kind of go into the news. Let's talk about. I don't know if we put this on the board, and I kind of want to get your thoughts about it. Have you heard what GameStop is doing now?
Do tell.
No.
So GameStop, and they've announced it recently. They are now publishing video games.
They're doing what now?
They're publishing a game now.
Okay. What, do they have a title?
It's from I don't know what the title is. It's being developed by I may have to look at my.
I've not heard of this.
I'm going to have to look this up because it's actually a pretty decent developer, sort of a Metroidvania game.
Nice. So they're going to get into the development arena then.
Yeah. And I kind of
can
wanted...
I buy it used? I'm just saying.
Well played.
Well,
no pun intended.
Well, that's kind of why I want to. I'm gonna
pun intended for everything.
Yeah, I'm gonna put GameStop because it's part of the bigger news cycle, anyways.
How did I miss that? I
don't know. Well, I've been.
I just
been
heard. Yeah,
driving.
Basically, yeah. Here, we'll read it off of. We'll take it off Ars Technica because we love Ars Technica here.
Ooh.
It's a thing. Basically, GameStop is now publishing them directly. So they have. I'll grab it from another. They basically apparently have it with Insomniac Games. It wants to make sort of here. Actually, we'll go to CNBC because it'll give me more details. But make it
CNBC.
It'll just keep it this way. Retail announced Thursday that it'll act as a publisher for the new title from storied game developer Insomniac Games, creator of the Ratchet and Clank series and Sunset Overdrive.
Okay.
And for practical terms, that means they'll be essentially... So basically the way it'll work is that it'll come out on both the Xbox and the PS4 on their respective digital marketplaces, but it'll be exclusively at retail at GameStop.
Of course. Now...
That's so weird. That's so fucking weird.
Do we want to make a prediction on this?
So I kind of want to go around the horn and sort of... I mean, because Insomniac Games is a well-known developer.
Yeah.
Like we just mentioned two... I mean, you know, out of all the games that came out during the Xbox One's launch, Sunset Overdrive was the one that looked the most. I'm not sure if you remember, you know what that game is. That's the one that was like the open world kind of skateboardy sort of kill whatever crazy shit.
It's the one where the
very colorful
virus was started by an energy drink.
Right, very colorful, very very tongue in cheek kind of game. Looked really fun, and it was really fun. I actually got to play it. You know, it was one of the games that was like that almost would have made me buy an Xbox One because it looked so different. And of course, Ratchet and Clank is
of course, well known.
The good news is, according to this, they have no creative control over the game.
Right, they have no creative control over the game. That's the kicker point
God.
For sure. They have, they basically said Insomniac Games do their own thing. We just want to make the money. But what I kind of want to ask,
I feel like GameStop would be like, could the character pre-order a game in the middle of it?
Well,
that would be great.
Well, that's good. They need to focus on what they're good at, and then let somebody else.
And then buy something from ThinkGeek.
So here's a question I want to ask of you guys, because again, creative. It does, it's from a decent developer. It's from someone that's sort of being let them do what they do and everything else. And it's a Metroidvania game, so it seems kind of some like weird submarine kind of Metroidvania game's idea behind it. But the question I kind of want to ask is that. Is this almost a sign for what potentially other, like, imagine if a Best Buy, if like, because game sales were decreasing, started.
I feel like what this is,
where does this, what's going to be the next thing for GameStop is essentially becoming their own.
You know what? It makes good sense. It makes good business sense, right? The whole don't put all your eggs in one basket ordeal. I haven't gone and physically purchased a game and I can't really tell you how long. It might have been when Cataclysm came out.
It's been like a month.
Yeah.
Because
I know you're, well, Michael, I know you're big on.
I might just buy Mario Maker.
But
later.
You are a dying breed, is the thing. That is I'm so sorry.
I've never denied that.
Well, here's the interesting. here I'll pose the question to you, sir. Let's say you like this game. Are you going to go into a GameStop and pick it up exclusively?
Probably. I've done that with Japanese games that they've gotten.
Point.
So yeah.
That's a good point.
Because Godzilla was a GameStop
thing. I can't stand going to GameStop.
And JoJo was an Amazon one for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I used to work at GameStop when it was still Electronic Boutique.
And then they got bought out.
I forgot they bought out
by GameStop.
But yeah, I find it
although they still exist in like Australia or something.
EB Games.
Yeah, really? I find it very fascinating that this is sort of where GameStop is going next, is because it's an interesting move in the idea.
It's a very interesting
of
move.
Leverage of being able to say we're going to leverage our brick. Like, I think in their. Let me see if I can find.
Especially after buying ThinkGeek, I think this is a very interesting move for them.
I want to see because I
think they're actually being very smart, and
it's just one step further than the exclusivity that they get sometimes on certain stuff.
That's true. And
there have been games where they're like exclusively at GameStop, you can only get the physical one here, kind of thing.
I have to say, I support it. I think it's fantastic.
As long as the games turn out fine, I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find out more.
Problem I have is some certain stores just don't exist. Like I didn't walk into a Best Buy until I was like 15 because it didn't exist where I was from.
Really?
No, they didn't exist.
You know what? I hate Best Buy.
Targets. I didn't know what a Target was for like till I was like 17.
Where did you live?
I lived in Del Rio.
Where?
I live in a border town. It was so small. The funniest thing happened. It had two GameStops. No more than maybe 3 miles from each other.
Really?
Two different ones.
Was no Target, but there were two GameStops.
There were two GameStops.
Nice.
And one of them closed on Sunday because the guy was religious.
Fantastic.
The other one was still open, though.
Well, he made the money on Sundays.
It was really funny. It, like, I, so weird.
I didn't know that about you, Michael. I did not know that.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think we had a Walmart, an HEB.
Well, I mean, what else do you need?
We had a movie theater that was okay. I guess
find some
our mall was okay until the Walden's book closed, and then we just didn't have a bookstore. And then the arcade was nice, but it kept switching hands, so it kept either being good or bad. Like last time I heard, they were just selling the machines.
Oh God,
it was weird. And then what else was there? We had a Gaddy's.
Our Gaddy's is
the only Gaddy's I know in existence that makes tiny calzones.
Interesting. Yeah, I was trying to find the statement because there's a quote they had put, but I couldn't find the exact quote where they're talking about the idea of leveraging the, like, it's rare that I've heard the idea of leveraging your realtor, you know, your brick and mortar stores as an asset to sell as a game.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued enough to go. You know, I will say the game seems interesting because it's called Song of the. I think Song of the Deep is the title.
Yeah, I think I saw say that on there somewhere.
It makes me think of mermaids.
That's probably the point.
Yes, Song of the Deep.
It's about a little girl.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Now you start looking more. Yeah, because
She's looking for like her father or something.
Yeah, and it's like a submarine kind of. Like,
aren't we all?
It looks intriguing for sure.
Wait,
again, if it wasn't,
I know where mine is. I don't know about you guys.
And again, it's a good developer, so I'm not worried about the game. What I'm more fascinated with, and more interested in, it's just. I mean, because this is gonna be the game that's gonna.
That's
show.
A really interesting.
This is gonna be the game. I can see the glint in your eyes. Yeah.
Right away, like I feel like
that's what the weird part
is. The weirdest thing is they got an actual developer that has been known for something. Instead of just grabbing some random unknown.
Right. That's amazing to me.
Until you said that.
Yeah.
I was like, let's make predictions.
I'm really curious on what I'm really curious on. This is, I think, what's going to be interesting. Because it's not going to not be on the digital stores. It's going to be on the respective marketplaces.
Yeah.
Probably not Steam. If it ever came out for PC in any capacity, it'll probably never touch Steam.
It might eventually. But it's
can we all agree that we're all going to get it though, and we're going to play it because here comes the question.
I want to get your bets in now.
Can I pre-order a bet?
Yes, you can. Let's assume it does well. Let's assume it does well. Do you think it'll do well?
Enough for them to do it again?
No, no. They'll do it again if it does well. But what I'm more concerned about is the following. Do you think it's going to sell more digital copies than physical copies? And more importantly, do you think because of the fact that it's at a GameStop and GameStop sort of has this within sort of physical ordering, you know, people, it tends to have a little bit of a, in other words, like if we, you know, the joke is, you know, we talk about GameStop, people, you know, hate being sold like 80 billion strategy guides for no fucking reason and have, you know, pre-order bullshit for, you know, like I remember one of my favorite pre-order bonuses I ever got was I think I pre-ordered like one of the Street Fighter 4 games. And my pre-order bonus was like a finger puppet of like some bullshit.
Finger
I'm not
puppet.
Even kidding you? I'm not even.
Yeah,
fucking
I actually
kidding
remember
you.
That.
Well, people go gaga over that shit. It doesn't matter what.
I was just like, why the fuck are you giving me this? In the first
Please
place?
Keep your finger
just
puppet.
Keep it. I don't. Why would I want this?
There's a lot of pre-order bonuses that are just like, why would I want that? But then there's some that I wish were here in America, because there was one when the Dragon Ball Infinite World game came out. It was like the last PS2 Dragon Ball Z game. If you pre-ordered it pretty much anywhere but America, you got a chocolate Majin Buu.
Oh,
I was like,
my
I
God.
I fucking wanted that.
Did you have eaten it or kept them in your freezer indefinitely?
I would have taken a bite out of them.
And then kept it in the freezer?
And probably would have just kept it.
That's hilarious.
And then there's some that are just like, why is our pre-order shitty compared to like some other place? Like that Pokemon one. I don't, like, remember that one?
What was the Pokemon one again? I
like,
mean,
what
obviously.
It was is like you got this like really awesome, I think it was like a small statue or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you pre-ordered it. But if you pre-ordered in America, like, well, you get this code to maybe get a little bit of extra money, I guess. Are you serious? Are you serious?
So,
like in the game,
so
it's like fuck
Roberta's
that.
Concern here is basically
well,
because
I'm
gonna
well, because I'm wondering basically because obviously the gamble isn't to sell a game. The gamble isn't to sell it on a digital marketplace at all. The gamble is this game going to bring people to come to GameStop to buy it physically?
I don't think so.
That's the question.
Legitimately, I don't think
that's
so.
The question because I think it's interesting.
But
I definitely it's interesting they're going into this. I definitely think it's interesting.
That's
but that's
why,
that's
though.
The gamble. You know, that's the try.
I don't think it's a gamble. They're diversifying for that exact reason.
Okay.
It's going to generate
they're
foot traffic anyway.
The portfolio.
But exactly, but they're diversifying, getting into this, you know, digital arena. And
it's a great idea.
Who knows how? Where
I guess
else
I mean,
leap
yeah.
With it.
I mean, I guess that might be an interesting thing
because
if it does sell well digitally, they can then maybe argue their investors. You know, here's how we get into the digital marketplace. We just make our own.
And
games.
If they're smart, you know what pre-order perk I would like. You pre-order, you get $5 off or some bullshit off of whatever you know your used games, the pre-owned. That would bring me into the fucking store.
That's why I have their little membership thing.
I
get like
yeah,
10%
I yeah.
Their used stuff.
I don't anymore.
I
just because like I literally haven't physically purchased a game in forever. But you give me a perk like that, I'll go in there, and then you end up dropping all this money that you didn't mean to drop to begin with.
I don't see a problem with it because both sides seem to be winning on this.
All right,
I think they're really smart. Is what I
thought. Let's move on to the sad bit of news. Is Activision making a Ghostbusters game? No, I'm kidding.
Let's talk about
Mighty Number 9.
Yeah.
So for those who are been under a rock for the past
damn you Mighty Number 9.
You know what's interesting, and this is what was talked about a lot of times. This is an interesting fact, but for those who don't know, Mighty Number 9 has been delayed once again. This time for netcode reasons, which is for those who have no idea about what we talk about netcode. So whenever we talk about a video game, there's a lot of different shit that goes into a video game. And I forgot that Mighty Number 9 was using the Unreal 3 engine still. Not even the Unreal 4 engine. We're at the new one now. But as part of that, there's, especially when you do any kind of online play, netcode, as they call it, that's sort of the generic term.
Like, they should have admitted, like, the fact that we put this on everything makes this really hard.
It is.
Make sure every netcode.
I thought also that the engine, the platform is outdated now.
Yeah, that was talking about the Unreal 3 engine is no longer supported.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It just makes it that much harder.
But so
they're putting it on everything.
Right. It is. It's one of those things. Netcode is probably the hardest thing to get done. And I'll put it in perspective like this. Netcode, for those you know, is the generic term for things that handle anything dealing with the network, whether that be local or typically over the internet. That can be something as simple as, and I say simple in quotation marks, as matchmaking, to something as more complex as hit detection, and how you do that. Now, if you think about let's say a game like a Call of Duty, for example, netcode for that kind of game is critical. Because
well, oh, absolutely, you want it, yeah.
You know, if and, that makes sense, and that kind of thing.
Shooters and fighting games, are right. Where net code
exactly.
Needs to be something.
Yeah, you, and not only is it critical to be working, it's critical to be lag free.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so it's interesting what's sort of happening now is that with a lot of these Kickstarters, because this is not, you know, net code's hard to get down right. Like there's even you know when it comes to, like shooter games, like. The idea of how hit detection works in netcode and how do you make the perceived idea of like, well, they hit the object, we think, so that way, you know, because you could either make it super accurate and it's doing 80 billion checks and then laggy as shit,
yeah.
Or you kind of play a little bit loose,
yeah,
so that you can kind of get that, but you're trying to find that balance of like performance versus everything else.
Enough
because,
to where no one will start complaining about
yeah.
It.
Because again, the internet, the way it works, and you know, for those who are real technical, know
it's a series of tubes. I'm just kidding.
Well, for those who are really technical, like typically games use the UDP protocol, UDP over IP.
Yeah.
And it's part of it. This is now welcome to the welcome to Network 101, everybody.
So I understood some of those words.
welcome to Network 101. Basically, the reason there are two major protocols within the internet.
TCP,
correct. TCP over the internet protocol right, right. And UDP over the internet protocol or TCP
I
slash
didn't say
IP,
that, by the way.
Or UDP slash IP. The big difference between the two, just without going into like real nitty gritty, is that TCP typically does an error check where
UDP just sends it out there, baby.
Yeah, just blasts it out there. And they're both good for different purposes, like the web, like the HTTP, like user web typically goes over that, and most of your network applications or you know internet type stuff
some kind of error checking
usually goes over that just to do an error check to make sure everything got there cool, you know, it's the idea of like, hey, did you get that? Yes, we did. Awesome. Hey, did you get that? I didn't quite catch that piece of data and you
there it goes again.
Yeah. Whereas typically like voice over IP applications, you know, will do UDP just because it doesn't care. And that's where you'll hear a lot of those artifacts happen, those like, you know, those weird digital artifact kind of things. That's because basically a packet of data just didn't get there correctly. And it just said, well, fuck it, you know, because for the most part, so much data is transferring over it, it doesn't fucking matter. In gaming, you'll typically see that sort of artifact happen when you see a character just like, imagine, yeah. like just jump. That's because, again,
the teleporting joke many people have.
Right, exactly. That's because a packet or two just didn't get there in time. And the X coordinate change between now and
some people use that to their advantage.
Right, exactly.
Like hells yeah.
Right, but anyways,
seriously, don't do that.
There's a lot of there's a lot of balance between that, and so you know when they announced that, I was like, I fully understand, you know, what's going wrong, and I was actually glad that they, to be honest, I think they did it the best way they could have, just like saying
I'm just happy they were upfront about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
They could have easily just been like, "Well, we just need more time."
That was really smart that they.
You know, solar winds.
It is. It's great. But in the words of this guy that I posted, is that rant of Alpha Omega Sin, and is basically you know saying, "Okay, it's great that they're transparent. What the fuck?"
Well, because
here's the $4 million, guys.
This is also the interesting point. This is also the intriguing part where it's not a heck. This is where we get started getting, and this is brings up one of the panels I saw at PAX, Expectations versus Final Product.
Right.
We added people like Adam Sessler on the panel, Cliff Bleszinski, you know, former Epic mother awesome fucker, and damn cool developer because he's fucking Frank. But when we talk about a lot of these things, like let's take Call of Duty as an example, because like right now a lot the expectation of gamers is that every year this magical game called Assassin's Creed comes out. Or that every year this magical game called Call of Duty comes out.
Yeah, new expansion.
And it's awesome.
Warcraft.
The reason why it comes out every year is that there is three different studios working on you know around the clock on that. In other words, basically, Studio A finishes a game, they start working on the next game that's going to come out 3 years later.
Yeah.
Studio B has already been working on it a year ago, and Studio B releases a game. They then get on the chain, and then Studio C does the release their game,
and we know this is not the case for these guys, and we do want a good product.
Right, I think that's important to state because a lot of this, you know, because a lot of gamers have this weird perception of what game development has because they don't quite know all the moving,
all the technical stuff in the background. And I get that.
Because now we know that, but, you know, they've been pretty upfront with that with Call of, you know, as of late with, like, Call of Duties, where they've said, like, this is a Treyarch game. This is a whoever the fuck the other developer is.
Infinity Ward.
Infinity Ward.
Is still a thing?
I think so. Whatever the other developers are, that's part of, you know, or even like EA will, you know, Ubisoft will be like, mm-hmm. it's Ubisoft West, it's Ubisoft France, this is Ubisoft, like they're at least being a little bit more upfront that it's their other division.
It is, and that's good, and I do like that kind of information because sometimes, you know, when you get like this difference in game, especially in a series, you're just like, why is this so different, or why did they change this type of XYZ?
And even more so, even sometimes it's coming down to that different sections of the game are done by different developers, like, you know. Like,
this is why ports don't work out too well sometimes.
That too, because even ports sometimes are actually
just have somebody else do it.
Right, like some other company. I think one of the big news things for, I think it's maybe the Division.
The Division.
I think
they're in beta right now.
I think because I remember who's making it. I think they're making a PC version. I think.
I have no idea.
But I think like
stop paying attention.
One of the, you know, basically like as part of their thing, like they have a dedicated PC one, and the guys they picked, I forgot the guy's name. They developed the team they picked for it. It's more of, I just forgot the damn name. It's like a well-known PC, like, part, you know, they've been making PC games for a while. And that. But it's but because of that, like, different, even within a same game, like I can use Borderlands 2 as an example.
Okay.
When they, you know, Gearbox made the game, but when they ported it over to Mac, Aspyr Games took over. Aspyr Games sort of, I think they're based.
So even there you get.
Yeah, I think they're based. I think they may be based here in Austin.
That happens a lot, though.
Yeah, very common.
Because Gearbox was the people who ported Halo to the PC.
Yeah. Very common. It's very common to have that happen, but a lot of times you don't necessarily know that because you're not, you know, a lot of gamers don't
like
look
it'll pop up real quick, like on the opening thing.
Exactly.
Even if it does, though, like you're saying, they don't pay attention.
Right.
Average,
exactly.
You know.
And so, you know, it's interesting that a lot of people are like angry, like it's been delayed. Holy shit! Like, yeah, because.
It's just, it's you know what? It's the anticlimactic
feel. It'll show up on a physical
feel.
Copy. Wink, wink.
It's the concern. If the game needs patching, if the, you know, it's the concern, it's real.
Right. A lot, and again, if honestly, and again, like we're talking about, I always give developers a little bit more leeway than most because, again, I know what the fuck.
I'm very willing to give them leeway.
There's a lot of, there, you know.
As long as the end result is great, I don't really care.
What number delay is this? 4?
I guess so, yeah. I mean,
and this one just didn't even give a date. Give a vague.
I will. How about I put for perspective the following to you, Miss. What number delay is this?
I'm just a hard ass.
Well, no, but like let's take like your favorite developer, Blizzard, to task. They don't tend to give a date, and maybe that's to their benefit. Like they tear the Valve approach where it's like it's done what's done. But like, how long did you hear about like the latest, you know, World of Warcraft expansion that came out? Like, how many BlizzCons we heard about it? Let's take even maybe there's even a better one.
Towards the beginning, because now they're pumping them out faster, which is why I think they're pumping out crap.
Well, like I remember when Diablo 3 came out, I heard about that for like at least
three
or four.
Yeah,
like,
it was three BlizzCons at least
before we got anything.
On, yeah.
That's 3 years of development for a single game. I think we heard about StarCraft 2 for...
Ever.
That one was even longer. Well, because they had hinted at it even before I think they started true development on it.
Right, we had that.
The actual game didn't even finish being made until recently.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we didn't hear. Yeah, I remember just the expansion for the last section of it. The what is it?
The latest Diablo?
No, StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know what it's called.
Something of the no, because I recently had it, but I just can't. I know it had Heart of the Swarm.
I haven't actually done it.
But
either.
Even that took I kept playing. Like, when is Heart of the Swarm coming out? And that took a good chunk of time too. A lot of these things do take good chunks of time, people. And that's because
this is true. But I think it's the fact. You know what? We're fine just waiting. I think it's the fact that they set hard dates and it let everybody hanging with. They announced it how many days?
Yeah,
like 10 days.
Yeah,
and that is like
it sucks.
Such.
It sucks. But I mean, like, because the funny thing is that okay.
Gives me time to buy it.
I'm going to put it this way. Here comes how game development is. If you've ever really wanted to learn how to program, do not learn. I mean, like really program. Do not go into game development. Game development is a very, very specific form of programming.
Agreed.
And the best way I can explain it, if you've ever been in college, it's like writing that paper that you were told about the beginning of the year that you needed by the end of the year. But you know you're not going to do it until the last moment.
Right.
Because you because a lot of game development, sometimes certain things just like you know, like we talk about a lot. One of the things at the panel that went to, but this is also a good story that that everyone's familiar with, the hot coffee mod. With a GTA San Andreas. I'm not sure if you know about this one.
No, I hate all the GTAs.
It's an older story.
It was one of the first like major controversies.
Long story short, it was discovered that within GTA San Andreas, there's this
sex mini game
that was supposed to be in there, but they pulled it out
for whatever reason.
They're just like, why should we even put it? Wasn't even decency reasons. Yeah. They're just like, you know, it's just.
Whatever reasons. I'm not saying
this doesn't really
bad or otherwise,
add anything to the game.
Whatever reasons, they did not include it, but. It was still technically on the disc. But the game was still technically on the disc because it wasn't accessible. Because what's funny about game development is that
they'll just leave shit in there.
Well, for good reasons, because
it's like if they take it out, then something might just break.
Well, the thing is that's why
the entire game might fall apart.
If you've never done any programming,
if you've done programming, then you understand why.
It's like having a Jenga thing on the top.
It's like, oh shit, I just pulled something that did something.
And then it just.
And if you've never done programming, there's a lot of times within programming you will link certain sections to other sections because you're reusing code. You're reiterating. You're doing that. It's very common. It's in fact good practices to do that.
Yes.
It's called optimization. In fact, one of the terms for that in programming is refactoring. You refactor your code. You make it more optimized. Whatever thing. It's part
optimized
of the process.
And it's uniform. Your code is uniform and easy to.
But if you
pull that part
and it's like, well, let's just pull the code out. It's like, what are you doing? That was like the main thing that we the open world work. Now we got to figure this shit out again.
This is why Q&A-ing is so hard.
Yes.
Because you'll fix.
Yep.
Because you're like, well, my character, got stuck in the doorway. I was like, okay, well, we'll just fix that real quick. Well, now my character has no legs. And then you're just like, well, what the fuck happened? You're like, well, they're in the door now. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. That's the truth.
That's a great example.
Because you'll fix one thing, and then it'll break something else.
You know, QA is like a huge.
That's why Fallout is nigh impossible to actually make perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's just not something. Because you can't.
It's near impossible QA, just a game with so many kind of things.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, in any case. I fully respect, when I heard that whole thing, I'm like, I read the articles, I'm a backer, so I got, the message. I was like, that makes total sense. I know what goes.
The second I heard it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
But that's right, because we are sympathetic. We're IT people.
But the thing is, what I think is important, can
we just say that it sucks, okay?
I mean, it does suck
that it's being delayed again, but,
Of course it sucks. I want my game, but,
Street Fighter V comes out soon.
Can I tell you that just makes me nervous? It makes me nervous, and this is why I agreed. You should watch this guy's rant. Actually, I had never found him before today, and actually I'm going to watch his stuff because kind of cracks me up. I don't agree with everything he says, but he cracks me up. Anyway, I think your average user is a little closer to where this guy's coming from, because we understand.
The average user pretty much is pissed off right now.
It's just
very much so.
Yes, there's reasons why we shouldn't be, but
no, I get why people are pissed, but I get why we're not.
Just stop giving me hard dates, okay? Just stop giving me hard dates, and we will be better off.
You know what's funny?
That's why they did not give you a hard date this time.
Exactly. They're like spring.
Like it's
okay.
Well, because I think a lot of the reasons why we get hard dates has nothing to do with like developers. Has everything to do with investors. I think it was Wada that said it right. At least the quotes attributed to him all the time is that.
Oh.
Yeah. Was it like I'm trying to find the exact quote.
It's the if
who the Nintendo guy
by the late great Satoru Wada was the idea that no one remembers whether a game was late. Everyone remembers if a game was broken.
I want to say
it was Miyamoto, actually.
Maybe Miyamoto.
But I'm not
100%
sure.
It was one of the two.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, it's one of the Nintendo guys. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I wasn't intent. Yes, you're absolutely right.
But like,
because everyone knows Reggie said my body is ready. So, yeah,
exactly. But that's important to note, is that no one remembers that, a certain game
Everyone remembers that Tony Hawk 5 was buggy as shit.
The only game we all remember was late was Duke Nukem Forever.
The only ones that are that are the ones that have been known for me.
No one remembers that Diablo 3, you and I are joking about Diablo 3 being in crazy development hell.
But no one remembers that.
But no pun intended. But we're just like, it took a while to develop. No one remembers I don't remember what their original proposed date was. I couldn't even tell you. Well, like I know
you're right.
We're delayed. I don't remember what the original dates were. I can tell you that, you know, the last Assassin's Creed
that
was broken as, you know, the one before that was all broken as hell.
I think it was the same thing with Max Payne 3, because Max
Payne
3
right. And then that quote is excellent. You're right. If that, if that shit comes out buggy.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You will remember
exactly.
That.
So take your goddamn time. Get that netcode running fine, because if that shit comes out, you know, buggy, that's you know, we can still talk about, you know, Assassin's Creed Unity. And that's been fixed pretty well. You can still bring up
you can still bring up
Arkham on PC, and that's been kind of fixed.
Oh, that's right. Well,
I mean,
Arkham
let's take another news article that I don't know if we pinned it or not, but I know that the guy that made the Five Nights.
I don't remember.
Scott something or other.
But
he released a new
Scott something.
He released a new Five Nights kind of RPG MMO thing that had a little bit of bugs. And some people didn't like it.
And he was just like, well, I'm just going to pull it.
And he pulled it from Steam, and he's offering refunds.
I'm going to fix it, and then I'm going to release it for free right after that.
Yeah,
like, okay.
And it's just like a weird thing.
Weird,
but I mean,
okay.
The point is that, like, he released it really fast.
Because he's been doing that with all
games. Right, and it's such a weird thing. It's like, why, you know, take your time, you know. There is no need.
An overachiever.
Well, the beauty part about when game development, we can, you know, the joke is, like, I remember when Watch Dogs came out, this is the one I said as a joke to myself, when it was at E3, before the game became what it was, I had said, I look forward to seeing that game get delayed.
Oh, yeah.
And not because of bad things, but because the thing
it was very
ambitious.
You know,
whenever you get into a project, and especially if you've been in the corporate environment or any kind of thing, and this isn't just unique to game development, this is unique to every environment.
Absolutely.
You know,
Q&A for a previous company I worked for, and yeah, this is part of it.
Yeah, well, because even if you take like if you know, if you work in your job, and think of it even in any job where they're saying, all right, guys, you know, we got a project we got to do, we got to deploy some product, or we're pushing out some new initiative, or we're rolling out a new SKU of something, whatever. You know, you may have a target date. It's very often that target date gets pushed back.
Yeah.
Very often on whatever the hell you do.
Yes.
It's like 99% of the time the first date they come out with is not the date that something comes out with.
We can all agree on this much.
I mean,
I'm only saying this because I know we're running tight on time.
Yeah.
We can agree on this much. It's fine to delay because we want a good product.
Right, exactly. And that's sort of the thing is that, like,
we don't have to like it right
okay,
now.
I didn't say
I like it, but I'm just like, I understand.
Sorry,
never,
I'm pointing at
never
you.
Never said I liked it. Liked it.
I don't, I'm, yes, I'm of course, point I'll, at you. I want the game out, but, you know, fuck it. You take your time, guys, because I'd rather, look, I'm just excited that as part of the back of rewards, we're getting an 8-bit soundtrack for it. That's all I'm excited for. I'm excited for Silly.
Before we run out of time, we'll talk about two things.
Go for it.
One is the Street Fighter V thing. The Street Fighter V is going to have a story mode.
Yeah.
I saw your link. It looks awesome.
The thing that annoys the fuck out of me about Street Fighter V story mode is the one giant thing is it takes place between Street Fighter IV and Street Fighter III.
Isn't that
it takes place between four and three?
But isn't four?
God fucking damn you! I just want a sequel to three. God damn it!
But yeah, because four took.
Why won't you give me that?
Because four took between two.
It took
and,
place between
two
and
three.
The same way.
And now five
it's
is
again before part three.
That's the interesting part.
Come on,
that's where you have like the Dark Hado and all that kind of crazy fun stuff. That's where you have Ryu like actually having a story arc and certain characters haven't died yet. I don't know if anyone died.
No one really does.
It looks great.
Yeah,
it looks great.
Give me a sequel
to part three already.
you're never gonna get that.
I want to mention something before we run out of time, especially because it's on sale right now until February 5th.
Yeah, I saw that really.
It's an RPG. It looks really good, kind of modern. And I think it's on PC and also Xbox. So
what is that one? What is it about?
It's like this modern shoot 'em post-apocalyptic type thing. Honestly, I didn't get a really deep look at it. It was one of the things that I added to my Steam want list, and it popped up, and it's on sale. So
I'll definitely check it out, and whatnot. I realize we went through a lot of news because we haven't recorded in a while, so we kind of had to have a quick dump of things.
Also, new Ghostbusters game, maybe.
Well,
that would be awesome.
And I left Blade and Soul downloading at home. Blade and Soul made it to the USA after years in Blade and Soul.
What is that?
It's Korean, and it's been in the Korean and Japanese market for years now. It's an MMORPG.
Yeah, the thing is that I was going, okay, it's a coin flip, 50-50. Either MMO or MOBA.
That's me, I know. Well, or RPG.
No, not even
straight
you.
Up RPG.
No, no. All you said was all you had to say was it's Korean. And I go, it's either MMO.
Right, oh my god, no, Bombshell was made by 3D Realms. Holy shit, I didn't know they're still making games.
Again?
I didn't realize. Wow, I didn't realize that either. Shit.
Oh wait, no, they published it, but still, that's amazing.
Oh yeah, 3D Realms probably think owned by somebody.
Yes.
Oh, here we are. This is why I remembered Bombshell, because Bombshell was originally going to be a Duke Nukem game.
Oh, this is that. That game.
Yeah.
I heard about this.
I just had it added on my list because it looked cool at a glance.
This was that game.
This is why. That's why I was like, this sounds familiar.
I heard about
it. I looked it up right now.
That's why, because I think that was like because Duke.
Because they were making their 3D Realms wanted to make another Duke Nukem game.
Yeah,
but they had already given the rights to Gearbox. And so Gearbox was like,
but
hey,
I mean, like Duke. As a quick note, like Duke Nukem has some weird fucking license stuff.
Oh, it's all screwy
now. Gearbox
at the time it wasn't weird, but it's screwy now.
Gearbox owns the rights to the future games.
Yes,
but doesn't own. But somebody owns the rights to the soundtrack for the original Duke Nukem.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's really.
I learned that during a weird.
Because before it was a little easier to maintain, but now it's like a whole fuck ton of people own something involving Duke.
Yeah.
I own this shoe.
It's quite literally Gearbox has probably some guy that owns the specific model for the alien.
Gearbox has the most important pieces.
I wonder who owns the hover fucking tanks and shit like that. Hovercraft.
Nice.
Yeah, I remembered. Yeah, Bombshell was supposed to be.
That's right. I hear about the story. All right, we are completely out of time.
Yeah,
we are. Guys, good catching up.
Totally.
Yeah.
Also, where can people find you online these days?
Aegis Rose. I'm always playing Heroes of the Storm and I have made myself a New Year resolution. I will start back up on Twitch and we devour.
There you go. What about you, Michael, sir?
You can find me in three places. You can find me on the internets. You can find me at sometimes at my friend's YouTube channel, Late to Let's Play. You can also find me on Twitter at, I think it's at Michael X Ross. It's been a while since I've touched Twitter. Sometimes you can find me on the side of the road because I fucked up the show.
So if you see him on there, go.
Please help.
Send help.
Oh, God.
And of course, you can find me. I'm at VincentForzer4 on the Twitters. If you want to catch any of our previous podcasts, head to our website, CosmicRadioTV.com/JumpPoint. There you'll find links to the Twitter account, which is at JumpPointPod. And all previous other shows. And
I might play Duke Nukem after this for some reason.
That's fine as well.
I never finished the DLC stuff for 3D.
You're fine.
I love Duke Nukem.
Yeah, there's only so
much. Randy Pitchford, give me a
Wrap
Duke
it
Nukem,
up!
You son of a bitch. I know you want to. You mentioned it like 3 years ago.
I'm going to take his mic away.
There's so we next episode, we talk hours.
So let's talk about Duke
we
Nukem.
We could talk about Pitchford all night long, but we don't have time. So until next time. Destroy. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.